We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to talk some fantasy football now, though, and we're bringing on one of our favorites. Mike Tagliere from Fantasy Pros now joins us on the Wesher Hotline. Mike, thanks for joining us, and hope you're getting ready for a nice 4th of July weekend.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me, guys. I feel quite naked, though. I'm typically in front of my computer, so I have some stats to reference, but I'm going to try to do as best as I can while on the road today talking to you guys.
I think you can handle it. I think that you know your stuff. Listening to you on the Fantasy Pros podcast once in a while, I'm sure that you've got it going. The Bills is the reason I wanted to bring you on to start, at least. I did a piece on our website last week talking about Devin Singletary, and I'm feeling as though his ceiling is limited, in part because he doesn't get the receptions, or he probably won't get the receptions, given that Josh Allen threw the lowest amount of dump-offs or check-downs to running backs in the NFL last season. And now he's got to worry about Zach Moss stealing some touchdowns. He already had Josh Allen taking most of the touchdowns as well. What is your feeling at this moment going into the season on Devin Singletary? And do you kind of understand my argument here that I think his ceiling might be a little bit capped?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a piece that I'm working on right now that's going to be coming out later this month in terms of expected fantasy points per player. And what that means is whether you get a carry or a target, a pass attempt, no matter what, anywhere you're at on the field, they have an expected fantasy output. So I've gone through every single – what was their actual opportunity in 2019? Devin Singletary not getting carries inside the 5-yard line. He had two the entire last season. I think it was 19 total for the team. He got two of them. Whereas Gore got 11 and Josh Allen, I think, had 6. So his opportunity ranked 33rd among running backs, which tells you everything you need to know. He's basically in flex territory, and now you have someone like Zach Moss, who I compared to Kareem Hunt. I actually like him a lot as a player. He does have some issues with health. He's a very bruising running back. So it's best that they did put him in a timeshare, and it's clear that that's what the Bills want to do. You know, their GM came forward and said that Moss is going to play the same role that Frank Gore did. So Devin Singletary is going to be stuck in that territory where he's going to be fine as a flex-type player, but at the same time, those aren't the guys that are going to win you fantasy championships. I would much rather take Zach Moss at his current ADP, and if there's an injury to Singletary, Zach Moss would turn into a potential league winner.
Yeah, Mike, that's what I was wondering. Devin Singletary, like, I think he's going to be the starter, but how much earlier would I have to take Singletary compared to Zach Moss? Like, where do you see these guys going in a draft? Like, how far apart are they going to be? Because for me, I don't know, regardless of ADP, I almost want to take the chance on Zach Moss over Singletary in fantasy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you in that. I understand not wanting to take Moss because the likelihood, you don't want to bet on an injury. So essentially, he's going to be somewhat of a handcuff. I think I have an ADP right now, Singletary is going as the 23rd running back, which is way too expensive. And that's why I'd say that Moss is a better value because you don't have to invest anything to get him.
Right.
He's coming off the board as the RB45, so he's outside the top 10 rounds. And Frank Gore last year, his opportunity was there in the top 36 running backs because of that goal line. So, again, to choose between the two, I'll take Moss.
Mike Tagliere of Fantasy Pros is joining us right now on the Wester Hotline, getting a little fantasy in, and we're starting off by talking about the Bills. I got another Bill I want to ask you about in a second, but while we are on Singletary and his current ADP, you mentioned that it's at 23. You're getting Moss about five rounds later. But when it comes to players that are going in and around where Singletary is currently being drafted, Cam Akers is going ahead of him now. Raheem Mostert is going ahead of him. David Montgomery. Guys going behind him, Mark Ingram, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, some of the veterans, some of the rookies. Of those guys, is there a particular one where you're like, oh yeah, every time I'm drafting, I'm taking that guy over Devin Singletary in that range?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is someone I would still take over him, even though he plays for Adam Gase and it's like the worst offense in the NFL, just because he's going to have somewhat of a bounce back. He had the eighth most opportunity last year, and you kind of bet on opportunity at running back, and that's where David Montgomery comes in too. David Montgomery, my stat on him is that I believe he's guaranteed 240 carries. Over the last 10 years, there have been 125 running backs who have totaled 240 carries. None of them have finished worse than the number 25 running back. None of them, like absolutely zero. So he's being drafted essentially at his fantasy floor, where his opportunity suggests that he should have been around the RB14 last year. And that's, again, you have room for improvement there. This Bears team last year, everyone was kind of disappointing outside of, like, Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take the guaranteed volume from him because they didn't add anybody off this offseason. Tariq Cohen is not a guy that you're going to give more than 6-8 carries per game to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, David Montgomery is getting all the red zone work. He's getting everything you could possibly want. And with a pocket passer like Nick Foles, he would have a tendency to check down to his running backs more than someone like Mitch Trubisky.
And I should say, I was actually reading from standard scoring ADP there. I should probably read the PPR because Bell is going higher than Singletary. Bell's going as pick 37 in PPR, whereas Singletary is going as 48. One other guy I want to ask you specifically, one that's going after Singletary in PPR, is DeAndre Swift, the rookie for the Detroit Lions. He is the next running back off the board right now, according to ADP, after Singletary. What is your overall generic feeling on what Detroit is going to be in the backfield this season? I'm a guy who has a couple of Kerryon Johnson shares, and I don't know if there's been a running back that's been more negatively impacted this offseason than Johnson because of Swift. So are you taking Swift around where that RB24 ADP is?
No, I'm not going to take him that high. If he falls to like the 28, 29 range of running backs, I might consider him there. But the reason is because, you know, guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, everything that they do is better than the other running backs in the roster. DeAndre Swift, when I was scouting him, I felt like he was a very complete running back, a very competent three-down back that can get it done in the passing game. He's pass blocked. He's done all that. But Kerryon Johnson was kind of the same player, where I felt like he was very solid at a lot of things but was never great at anything. It was just him. He had trouble staying healthy. So this could very well be a big timeshare between those two, and it's not really something I'm willing to invest in. And it's like the same thing with Cam Akers. You know, going to L.A., they didn't target their running backs in the passing game last year, and those targets mean an awful lot. The knock on Cam Akers coming out of college were that his stats weren't great. People use the offensive line as an excuse to why he didn't, you know, put up big numbers. And he's going to the Rams, who, by the way, have a bottom three offensive line in the NFL. This team is quickly going downhill. I don't know if they're going to be leading in many games. I just that franchise has kind of lost it a little bit. And they do still have Daryl Henderson, who they drafted. Last year, so Swift is a little pricey. I mean, he's in the territory with someone like Ronald Jones, where, you know, you understand the possibilities, but you don't have to pay premium price to get him. Ronald Jones is actually much cheaper than DeAndre Swift, and I think I might lean Ronald Jones because he plays for the better offense.
Yeah, Mike, for a lot of the same reasons that you're talking about with these rookie running backs, I'm kind of turned off to them this year. I love the talent of J.K. Dobbins and Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers, but I don't know, the situations they're in, they go into a backfield with, you know, yeah, they're average talents, I would say, like, you know, Marlon Mack.
Right.
But for me, at the same time, they're in situations where they're still, like, young, pretty talented running backs with them. It's not like they're going into a backfield with, I think Dobbins is different because Mark Ingram's older, but, you know, Swift is going in with Kerryon Johnson. A.J. Dillon was taken in the second round, but, I mean, Aaron Jones is there in Green Bay. You know, even, I don't think Marlon Mack's going away in Indianapolis. So outside of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there's just not one situation that screams like, I got to get that guy this year. And, you know, especially in keeper dynasty leagues, have him long term.
Yeah, I understand the point on that. And that's why Edwards-Helaire, there's nothing that Damian Williams does that's even comparable to Edwards-Helaire. But when it comes to Jonathan Taylor, he reminds me a lot of Nick Chubb. And, you know, Nick Chubb is being drafted, I think, as the ninth running back off the board, where Jonathan Taylor is falling into that RB20 range, which is much more attainable. And you don't have to take on the risk where they're not going to be used a whole lot in the passing game, but they are monsters on the ground. And Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he's shown that he could stay healthy throughout a giant workload. And that was his concern coming out of Wisconsin, is that, you know, he racked up so many carries on his body. So the Colts kind of have to use, like, when you drafted Jonathan Taylor, you kind of understand you're drafting a player that's probably going to be good for one contract, knowing how many miles he has on his frame.
Sure.
So I understand Marlon Mack's got 1 year left on his deal. Naheem Hines is, he's not very good. He's a guy that they didn't want to give carries to last year, or even targets to last year, even when there was injuries to Marlon Mack, and they went to, you know, Jonathan Williams instead. So I'm just going with the top-tier talent, but I definitely understand with Swift, with Dobbins, those guys are teetering because they do have proven veterans on the roster. But Jonathan Taylor is superiorly – he's definitely more talented than Marlon Mack, and he's shown the ability to stay healthy, which is something that Mack really hasn't done to this point in his career.
Mike, before we get too far away from the Bills, I got one more that I want to ask you about, and it is Josh Allen at the quarterback position. He's currently going as the seventh quarterback off the board, and I've been interested in where he's being evaluated right now in terms of his ceiling and his floor. It seems to me that most believe that his floor is pretty high just because of the rushing, but I don't often hear a conversation about what his ceiling is. So he's currently going at seven, but there's a big gap between him and the top six. Why? Deshaun Watson's currently sixth. Do you think that there is a good to a chance? How good a chance do you think there is that he creeps into that top six and eclipses the Watsons, Wilsons, and even Kyler Murrays that are going ahead of him?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for me to go there, just because the Bills are still a defensive, like their strength is their defense. You know, they're going to work through that. They're going to run the football. We know that. But knowing that Josh Allen is kind of like a Cam Newton light, in that, you know, he's a guy that can rush for 500 yards. We saw him rush for – he led the league in rushing touchdowns among quarterbacks last year. So he's a guy that is very Cam Newton-like. He doesn't have to be a terrific passer in order to, you know, to put up fantasy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Numbers because of what he does on the ground. Adding Stephon Diggs to that passing attack is going to help, because Diggs, to me, is he's a top, maybe even a top five wide receiver in the NFL, like overall. But the question is, can Allen start hitting that deep ball? And that's what's going to separate it, because Allen was, he was arguably, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I want to say that he was the second worst deep ball passer in the league last year, whereas Kirk Cousins was one of the best in the NFL. So if he starts hooking up with, you know, John Brown too, he could stretch the field. But with Diggs and John Brown, and he gets those passing numbers elevated just a little bit, he absolutely has a top five ceiling. Because when you're looking for quarterbacks in that range in today's NFL, what you're looking for is a guy that can rush for five or six touchdowns, rush for 400 or 500 yards, and then add some passing stats on top of it. I don't know if he has top three upside, just because, again, it is a defensive-minded team. They want to run the football. They have competent running backs. but they definitely surrounded him with enough talent.
Mike, sticking on AFC East mobile quarterbacks, obviously the big conversation on today's show has been about Cam Newton, who just signed with the New England Patriots. I believe that he will bounce back this year if he's healthy. I think he's still a top quarterback in this league. If I want to target him in fantasy this year, which I think I do, where should I get him, and where do you think I can get him in current drafts?
Yeah, you know, we just talked about him actually today on the Fantasy Pros podcast that will get released later tonight. And I said that I'm not going to take him. And the reason is because I have him ranked, I think, 14th or 15th in quarterbacks. He's 31 years old now. He is, I've gone through this, the research. There's only been three quarterbacks who have rushed for 500 plus yards at 31 years or older. None of those guys were able to score more than four rushing touchdowns. So we have to anticipate that falling down. And the argument, the counter argument to that would be, well, Cam Newton, we've never seen a specimen like him. That's also a detriment to him, though, too, because this guy is a linebacker playing quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
You see these guys, they break down a lot faster. Think about Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski. These guys were monsters, but they broke down early in their career for a reason. Their bodies just aren't supposed to take the abuse that these guys do playing that big and that fast. So Cam Newton, I mean, my question I asked Bobby and Yates on our podcast was, how many times has Cam Newton thrown for more than 24 touchdowns? And they kind of sat there stumped. The answer is zero. Is one year, his MVP season, where he threw for more. But outside of that, no seasons with more than 24 passing touchdowns. So if you remove some of his rushing totals, it's really going to hurt his overall performance. So to me, he's a streamer. If you want to platoon him with another quarterback, I personally would probably take the upside with someone like Joe Burrow over Cam Newton.
Who on the Patriots do you think gets the biggest upgrade now that Newton is there and is likely to start over Stidham?
Right, and that's the thing is, like, I don't think that many guys get an upgrade from this because Cam Newton is not known as to be a great passer. But if there is one player, it's definitely N'Keal Harry. And I say that as he's their first round pick from last year. They need him to become something because, I mean, their receiver core is old with Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu. It's not ideal, right? But Newton has shown over the course of his career to support at least one fantasy relevant wide receiver. We had Kelvin Benjamin finished as a top 20 receiver multiple times. We had Devin Funchess finished, I think, number 23 one of those years. So N'Keal Harry is not someone who separates very well. He doesn't at all, and that's the part of the reason I didn't like him coming out of college. But if Newton is willing to throw it up to him in contested catch situations, that's where N'Keal Harry is definitely above average. So N'Keal Harry would be the one that I'm going to keep my eye on with Newton.
Last one for you, Mike. It was big news last year, especially in fantasy, or last week, especially in fantasy, but it kind of got lost in all of this Newton news. But Deebo Samuel getting that injury, and a major injury, is impactful, especially in the fantasy world, not just with the 49ers. In part because, I don't know, I'm looking at their other options at the wide receiver position, and I feel like anyone's guess is as good as mine as who is going to make up some of those targets if Samuel does indeed miss a good chunk of the beginning of the season. If you had to put your chips on one guy that might see the biggest uptick in targets with Samuel gone in San Francisco, who do you think it would be?
For me, if you're looking to replace that, because obviously Brandon Ayuk is going to get targets as their first round pick, but he's not going to get much of an uptick because of Samuel. The only player on that team that I believe can fill that Samuel role is Jalen Hurd. He was their third round pick last year. He was someone that I was high on. He was a running back in college and then just decided for his final year, you know what, I want to be a wide receiver. And then he goes out and posts, I think it was just under or just over 1,000 yards that season. And I liked him as a sleeper in the draft. I said, pay attention where he goes on day three, because nobody really anticipated him to go in the top three rounds. And the 49ers took him at the top of the third round, and I was excited because Kyle Shanahan knows how to use these players. He was unfortunately hurt last year, was put on IR. But he's the player I would watch, and I don't think Deebo Samuel is going to be ready. He's someone, like, whenever a wide receiver suffers a foot injury and has surgery that calendar year, I tend to avoid them. That's why I also think that Marquise Brown, what he did last year was kind of miraculous. He dealt with some injuries throughout the year, and, like, you know, he wasn't as good as the year went on, but I think that had to do with his foot and what he was healing from. So, yeah, Jalen Hurd is the name that I would watch.
That's music to Joe's ears. Joe's been talking about Jalen Hurd for years now.
I'm actually so upset, though, right now, because I'm not sure I'm going to have any shares of him. I had an opportunity about 2 weeks ago to draft him in the fourth round of a rookie draft, and I went with DJ Dallas instead. And then the next week that happened, and I'm just like, oh, I could have had him. And I almost did it, but I didn't. So I do agree with you, though. I love Hurd. I liked Hurd already, and with Samuel going down, I think that that's got some big boom potential as a late-round pick. Mike, thanks for joining me. I know you're on the road. Appreciate you taking the time out for us, and have a great 4th of July weekend.
No, of course, you guys too. Anytime, I'm down to talk football with you guys.
Awesome, thanks. There's Mike Tagliere on the Western Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Tagliere NFL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.